numerology is a system of ancient codes found in our birth information that gives insight to the lessons we each must learn in this lifetime. Elizabeth Summers is a medium and esoteric numerologer offering her knowledge of ancient wisdoms to help fellow travelers towards a more enlightened and peaceful path. Join her now for the magical world of numbers.
Well, good evening, everyone. The wait for the hurricane passes here. How are you tonight? I tell you, we've had a little break in our weather. I'm looking at blue skies, fluffy white clouds, even though they're temporary. They are there, and it's not raining, so praise the Lord, that's all I can say. I'm going to continue chatting with you tonight about the energies of number nine. I started with the basics last week, and now we're going to amp it up a little bit. We have in esoteric numerology what is called octaves. Octaves that are like stepping ladders, if you will, and the lowest rung of the ladder is a basic number nine. I mean, a nine is a nine is a nine. And the metaphor I like to use is the single numbers, one through nine, are like a basic black dress. But in the work that I do, I add jewelry in the interpretations of the numbers, the compound numbers. Double numbers are different from compound numbers. Double numbers are 22, 33, 44, 55. Those are termed double numbers. When we have 18 or 26 or 53, those are called compound numbers. When I work my formulas in a reading on my clients' behalf, I always, with few exceptions, arrive at compound numbers. I not only interpret numbers 1 through 9, the basic Western numerology developed 2,600 years ago by a highly evolved descendant master, a big guy, whose real name is in spirit called Kasumi. When he came to humanity this time around, he took the name of Pythagoras, and it is the prevalent system of formulas that are used in the West here. It is system 1 through 9, basic black dress. Okay, fine. But I also interpret numbers 1 through 78 that correlate to the ancient tarot, the compound numbers. Tonight we're going to talk about the one of the compound numbers connected to the number nine. So, yes, a nine is a nine is a nine. But now we're going to start putting some jewelry, some additional information to that basic number nine. Not going to talk too much about astrology tonight. We are in a full moon energy that will go on until the new moon in a couple weeks. But the closer we get to the new moon, the full moon begins to wane, wane, wane. And this one was in Pisces, which was very sensitive and very emotional, very intuitive. Maybe you found you were dreaming a lot. I had just the darndest, weirdest dreams. And while I'm on that subject, if you have any kind of a water sign as prevalent in your chart, know that when the full moon especially, and this of course was a super moon, the third of three for 2014, or the new moon, you will probably have dreams. You probably will be restless in your sleep, so don't worry about that. Take some chamomile tea or what have you, no drugs. And it's just because the moon greatly affects any sign that is a water sign. And so the letter R is connected and assigned the number 9, yes, but it more intensely is assigned the number 18, which adds down to a 9. The title for tonight's show is on purpose. I called it The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Because, folks, the number 18 can be just that in a person's life. I'm not too crazy about the word bad. We'll say it's a little bumpy, a little stressy, potentially, which I'm going to talk to you about. And so, in a nutshell, the number 9 as a basic. And this is where some folks may get off the track that creates the problems connected to the letter R, connected to the compound number 18. So it's about compassion. It's about spirituality. It's about forgiveness. And most importantly, the number 18 is about gratitude. When I add a person's month, day, and year of birth together, that becomes what is known the life path number, the life lesson number. Most Western numerologists consider this the most important number to be aware of, and it is important. It's like your plot line. Your soul's going to keep you on that journey every which way but loose from beginning to end. So it's important to know about it. And it also gives indication as to career choices when it comes to the life path number. That's why life path number. Some will call it life lesson number. I personally think both of those do apply. So when I add month, day, and year of birth, with few exceptions, to a compound number, and if it's 18, my little antennas start going up. Because the number 18, any soul who has that as a life path number, as a lesson to learn, is going to learn gratefulness in this lifetime. And I tell you, folks, it's usually not in a pretty way. It's usually not in a pretty way. The careers that are connected to anyone who has an 18 life path number or an 18 birthday number. The birthday number of every person is their personality, is their temperament. And personality numbers, there are compatibility. 3, 6, and 9 are compatible. 1, 5, and 7 are compatible. 2, 4, and 8 are compatible. That's their temperaments, their personality. So anyone who has either a life lesson to learn, or it's their birthday number, or when I add all the vowels of their name together, which tells me who they really are emotionally, these people are really independent. And here is what creates one of the major problems. They are very driven to financial gain. They're very driven for achievement. As an executive, as a manager, as administrative positions in large corporations, excellent temperament for human resources. Excellent, because they have the managerial, but they also, if they are in balance and on the right track, have the emotional aspects. The number 9 as a life path number, as a career number, is also that of a teacher, of learning to be a teacher or having a temperament of a teacher. It is a very spiritually evolved vibration. Shamanism, minister, humanitarian, Mother Teresa energies usually are very interested in travel and people in foreign lands and people that are of a unique culture. They're very curious. They have a very universal vibration connected to them. So it's not a bad temperament if it's in balance, which we're going to kind of sort of talk about. Also, it's a very dramatic vibration, especially the 18 nines. very artistic, loves to travel, and does not like to be held back. I mean, it's like, get out of my way. They like to be the head of the household, in control, which we're going to talk a little bit about here. Have to say, not necessarily the best number to have for long-term marriages, long-term relationships. Because the number 9 all by itself is about impermanence. People come and go. Situations come and go. If it is the ruler of your birthday number in your middle lane of life, we go through 3 lanes of life, which we'll talk about sometime. But the middle lane is the most important lane. And in general, extends from 30 years of age after the first Saturn return all the way to about 55, 56, like in there. That birthday number of a 9 and an 18-9 influences tremendously. And this middle lane of life is called the power years, emotional empowerment years. Through environment, through emotions, when the soul wants to learn and grow, it always creates emotional situations. I mean, it can make you crazy sometimes. But the emotions are the force field of the soul. And we humans work through things emotionally first. Now, some of us coming in here are like the Tin Man and the Wizard of Oz. And we have to learn about our emotions, learn how to feel. And they, then as souls, create emotional situations that are like a nutcracker at Christmas time, crunches that heart chakra open through pain, through suffering, through sadness, through whatever, cracks open that heart chakra so that they can feel. And in that situation, which, you know, I say, who needs that? I try to give everybody a heads up about these kinds of things so we don't have to set them up. Well, anyway, it is through that then, that feeling, that they learn compassion. They learn forgiveness. They learn gratitude. They learn to let go. So this number 9 is a little puffy a lot of times. The metaphor that I want you to think about is a jar, like a jelly jar. And in that jelly jar are 8 marbles. Each marble is a different color, a different texture. The number 9, the glass, the jar of the 9, has within it lessons that it has learned in this lifetime, but usually previous incarnations, that make up its entire personality. And theoretically, many souls that have the number 9 as prevalent in their chart are souls that did not have to come into human again. They've kind of been there, done that, and they come in here in order to be of service. That's another 9 word, service. Service to humanity. Thinking out of the box, how may I serve? But many, many people have to go through some thunderstorms in their life to get them to that attitude. And so the number 9, and this is what gets them in trouble with the number 18. The number 18-9 really has to beware of appearing overzealous, pushy, shovey, my way or the highway. They have to watch out for appearing to be money hungry or excessively critical of other people. They're known for their perfectionism, expecting other people to walk to the beat of their drums, which bottom line is a control issue. Well, now that I have anyone who has the number 9 or the number 18, prevalent in their chart, you know, just in probably a state of total depression, know that it's not all bad. And we'll come to some things that are really going to perk your ears up very nicely. So the next octave up for the number 9 is the number 18. They're here to really develop their mental capacities and their spiritual capacities. And now we can start talking about some issues that the number 9, the letter R, maybe all the vowels in a person's name, their birthday number, their life path number, even their ultimate goal number. There is in the work that I do what is called the ultimate goal number, the reality number. It comes from adding all the vowels and the consonants and all this together in a birth name and a birth name and a birth month, day, and year of birth. I call it what you're here to be when you grow big. And it sometimes is the same as your life lesson number, which says maybe that person was a little sick and took a whole lifetime to really learn it. Usually it's different. It begins to creepy crawl into a person's life theoretically, emotionally, environmentally, around the age of 42, 43, when astrologers say we're going through our midlife crisis, and some of us absolutely remember those days. And then, like a coffee pot, it keeps percolating and percolating and percolating, so that when you get into your older years, into even your third lane of life, which is called your wisdom years, where we're supposed to give back to humanity, well, the wisdom, which is applied knowledge, it's not a smarty pants. Usually wisdom comes with humility, because we have learned through experience that, you know, we really aren't all that, quite honestly. The maturity number, if it's a 9, says that that person later in life will be teacher, wisdom giver, humanitarian, traveler, artistic, creative. They kind of have to grow into all of that, if you will. That's why I call it what you're here to be when you grow big. But what if in a person's birth name, they do not have the letter R or even the letter I that is connected to the number 9. This becomes what is called a challenge and a karmic challenge. And it will be in your face, in your face, in your face, all throughout a lifetime. Certainly not to the same degree, because we learn as we go along when to hold them, when to fold them. But when there's no letter number 9 in a person's name, birth name, and it's kind of rare, actually, that there is this karmic lesson, that person has really failed in past lifetimes, has really failed to learn about its own emotional nature and that of other people. This is a humanitarian vibration. And in the past, it really kept its emotions really controlled, which is another definition of the number 9. Very well controlled, to the extent that they don't allow people to know anything about them. Well, now, wouldn't you like to be involved with someone like that? They really don't understand what it means to be a human. They kind of refuse, dig their heels in. They refuse to feel. They're really not experienced in suffering and hurt or heartache. So they have no compassion for the other guy. They keep other people, you know, at arm's length. These are the qualities of how the missing number 9 in a birth name shows itself. A person's birth name, your birth name, which you have chosen to have. Oh, I know your mother named you, or you were adopted, or whatever. Your soul set that name up, telepathically told whoever named you what you wanted, because those are your tools coming in here. that you as soul were working with based on previous incarnations. Well, poor little number nine, he kind of missed the boat. He or she missed the boat here, and this is a major issue. And so they mainly talk and think about themselves, kind of self-centered. So what happens in this lifetime is that they need to learn to feel, mainly through hurt and suffering. So they have breakups with the boyfriend and the girlfriend. They have marriage issues. They lose their jobs. Remember, nothing is permanent. And while I'm on the subject of boyfriends and girlfriends, in a time formula, like in a month or a year, it's called a transit in a chart. I tell you, old loves can come toodaloo back into your life for one final fling or to finish what didn't get finished maybe in 602, 903, who knows. And I always caution everybody when I see it in their chart, careful, careful, because old loves can just toodaloo in. Here I am again, remember me from 425 or 1697, and the soul has to decide, am I going to go for that again? Are my values the same again? Or if I'm going to say tweedledee, tweedledum, see you, and that resolves that issue because they are usually always karmic situations. And so know that this person has to learn to acquire sympathy and compassion and love and generosity and understanding. Easy way or hard way. And I tell you another thing. A lot of illnesses are brought on by the soul to the person in order for them to learn it. You know, back in the 60s, back when AIDS was coming in as a real prevalent illness, Louise Hay said that souls that were suffering from AIDS were here to learn compassion as souls. And I thought, that is so unfortunate, but it showed how powerful those souls were. So know that a lot of times, hard-headed people, stone-hearted people, the soul will set up illnesses that force them to give up control. They can't run their lives. They need to learn to feel. They need to bring in people that nurture them to see what it's like to be nurtured. And I'll tell you another thing. When I see in a chart a person doesn't have a nine and I know they have to learn all of this, and a lot of times it's fear that's holding them back, fear of allowing themselves emotionally to respond to whatever, I tell them to get a dog or a horse. The number nine represents dog or horses. I live in horse country. I don't know a lot about horses. I still call them boys and girls. But I say to people, get a dog. Why? Because a dog will give you unconditional love. And it eases, and so does a horse, eases that person in to give love to that animal. That animal will not leave it, will be very loyal to it, and it makes the person grow slowly and not be afraid. Well, okay, all right, well, I kind of know what that feels like. And then eventually more and more and more, they will reach out to humanity. And so a lack of nines in a chart. No I's, letter I, no letter R, really can limit a person in their accomplishments. They'll find that they really will study humanity more, religions more, sociology more, psychology more, the humanities, if you will, the arts. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. And so there's good things about the number nine. The number nine, if it's your first letter, if the first letter of your first name, this is called a cornerstone vibration. It's like a pivotal. It's like a fulcrum. It indicates your attitude in this lifetime, your approach to life in this lifetime. So if you, any of my listeners, if your name begins with an I, like Imogene or R, Robert, which is a really powerful name, folks, you know that your attitude in this lifetime is on love, on compassion, on sympathy, on generosity, on romance, on emotionalism. It is very artistic. They're very magnetic. Can be someone who thinks in broadband, out of the box, has more of a universal, and is very charitable. That has to be careful, because they will throw the baby out with the bathwater. On the other hand, when it's out of balance, it can really be overly emotional. I mean, we're talking hysteria sometimes. Very theatrical, very dramatic. Makes everybody stand back and go, whoa, who is that masked man? They can be very fickle, impractical, no common sense, because they're running on emotion. Really, believe it or not, can be uncaring, and dream on, daydream on. If you have a child who is has either of those letters as their cornerstone vibration, now you know. These are not acute mathematicians coming in here with their approach to life. So if you have a child who has the number 9 missing, they need to be encouraged to show their emotions, the tears, boys and girls, that have compassion, show affection, help to see how to really love so they can be loved, give love. So the best way to teach your child is by your example. Compassion, not perfectionism, certainly setting boundaries, but learning generosity of spirit, non-prejudicial behavior, if you will, and how them work with animals, especially dogs and horses. So this is why I said, we're going to start with the good of the Good, Bad, and Ugly show tonight. We're going to take a brief break coming up here. But one more thing I wanted to tell you about the basic number 9, which is part of the number 18-9, is that the number 9 represents father, the parental father. Children who were born in September, their first lane of life called their youth years. Their youth years extend, generally speaking, from birth to about 30 years of age, give or take. They have to go through their first Saturn return, 28 to 30, and that's usually an uproar time in the life. Those children that are born in September, their father, good, bad, or indifferent, is most important to them. Know that a lot of times in the work that I do, that father has done a lot of damage to that child. And the child will break away from the father. The father could have been extremely judgmental of the child, perfectionist. The child could never do anything right, was always being judged, was expected to be like everybody else. If you find that your issues with your father created difficulties in your life, then I want you to stay tuned. After the break, I'm going to talk more about the bad and a little bit of the ugly. We'll be back real soon. Well, we're all refreshed. We've taken swigs of water or whatever you're taking a swig of. Deep breathing, relaxing. It's a beautiful night here in Colorado. And I am visiting with you. How sweet is that? We're going to talk a little bit about, and I don't like to use the word bad. You know, that's an attitude. But a little toughy, connected to the number 18, which adds to a 9. That number 18 in tarot cards is the moon card. Now, when the moon's out, things are dark. You can't really kind of see for sure really where you're going. The moon card is a card of caution. It's saying, cautious, be cautious. The number 18, when I subtract the 1 from the 8, I get the number 7, of course. The number 7 is a spiritual number. It's an intuitive number. It's an introspective number. It's a number that your soul is saying to you, listen, 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 because the answers are within. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. And so when the number 18 shows up in a chart, whether it's a natal chart that gives you real clear insight, the readings that I do, the natal readings, the blueprint readings, and that 18 is in there, it is wherever it appears, I always have the person caution and listen to your intuition. Because the moon card, number 18, really has the propensity to accept a false picture. They're so emotional. They're so, get caught up in illusions, if you will, that they can deceive themselves. And they have very unrealistic ideas and misapprehend the truth of the situation because they are control people. They like to be in control, and they don't pay attention to the sign, which is the number 7 of an inflated ego. Ego, number 7, and an inflated ego. I'm not going to listen to my hunches and my intuition. This doesn't make sense, and I can see a way to really get some money because I love money and power and on and on and on and on. They miss the clues. Don't go there. Don't go there. They have a tendency under the moon card to chase after fantasies. They're very unrealistic, like I told you, in the negative. This is kind of the bad that I want to talk about to some degree, which leads them then, as they get themselves all emotionally worked up, they have trouble thinking clearly. And they become very confused and get easily distracted and get disoriented and wander around aimlessly. Well, for Pete's sake, keep your feet on the ground. The number 18 in the moon card, the caution is in relationships. Choices, choices, choices in relationships. Remember those old loves that I told you returned from previous lifetimes? They don't have to be romantic loves. They are old relationships that can toodle into this person's life to balance out some karma, because the number 18 is one of the minor karma codes. The 1 and the 8 comprise the moon card. In a compound number, the first number leads the way, is the most powerful. So here you have the number 1. I'm in charge. I'm the boss. I know what to do. Follow me. Intellectual. It's a mental number. It's a masculine number. I know what I'm doing. The 8 is very materialistic. Management, money, business, property, real estate, and in comes old relationships, whether they're business relationships or they are romantic relationships. Attention to those hunches, that intuition, that number seven, they make choices frequently, impulsively, get themselves involved, marry, and there's divorce. There's separation. The number 18 difficulty always brings financial material loss. Big house, move to an apartment after a divorce. Big this, all this, all this. Big company, ego, number seven, brings a financial breakdown, Wall Street issues. The number 18, minor karma code, is about material loss through government intervention, IRS audits, divorce, trusting the wrong person, not getting your details right, material loss. That material loss is what the soul uses to teach the soul gratitude, gratefulness for what they have left most of the time. And the true value of the number one and the eight of the number 18 is, okay, all right, chins back, shoulders back, chins up. And the number one in the positive then leads the way. I am self-reliant. I am standing on my own two feet. I did it once. I'm going to do it twice. And I am moving forward in my life. Power is a divine power. Financial loss, betrayal, being treated unethically, number seven in there, is what the soul sets up in order to bring that soul to gratefulness for what it has left in many instances, but it is in that highest vibration of gratitude. Gratitude. Thank you for what I have. Thank you. It might be some old beater car, but it runs. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I've told you before, the first words out of your mouth when you open your eyes in the morning is thank you. Thank you for a new day. Thank you for my health. Thank you. Go down your gratitude list because, you know, I mean, we as humans, when we do something and support people and they say thank you to us, we want to help them some more. And that's the way Mother, Father, God is. Not be spoiled brat with the gimme, gimme, gimmies. Eventually, your higher self says, well, we've had enough of this nonsense. This soul's going to, you know, we're going to slap it down a little bit. And it's unfortunate, and it happens, and you take your power, and you let go of the past, and you don't hold on to the fact that you had some big mansion, or some this, or the bubbles, bangles, and beads. There's only now. And you take your power back from any controlling situation because you, Mother, Father, God, can do everything. Remember, I've said to you repeatedly, be still and know that I am God. Gratitude raises you up to that higher vibration that is a spiritual vibration, out of the bad, out of the difficulty, changes your heart, opens your chakra, gets you to believe in yourself and take your power back from whatever the situation is. And you move forward, number one. You lead off, number one. The number nine also has fortune with it. Good fortune with it, as long as you have spiritually evolved in gratitude, pure and simple. Interestingly enough, the word money adds to the number nine. the word fortune as the number 9. How cool is that? So it's not all bad if we can get balanced out here and get on the right side of the vibration of the number 9 and number 89. The number 89 is excellent for businesses that are service-oriented businesses. Excellent. Now, while I'm on the subject of that, let's talk about house numbers. Really? House numbers and businesses? The number of the house, your house number, added down to a single number, carries the vibration of that house, carries the energy that surrounds that house. So when you write it and you say it and you sing it and you dance it and you're whatever, you're expanding that vibration. Well, to live in a number 9 house in general says you're not going to be there long. Remember, the number 9's not permanent. And I break my own rules more than I choose to admit. So years ago, I moved to a place in Denver that had a, Colorado, that had a number 9. I looked at that, but I wanted that house. I wanted that place. And so I moved in, and it was torture, and it was awful. And I lasted 8 months. I had to get the heck out of there. My inflated ego put me there, and it brought me to my knees. Talk about being humbled. You know, Elizabeth, you know better. This is your field, and you did it anyway. Well, now to make the connection, the house that I'm in now adds to a 9. And when I first saw that, and I picked this house, I thought, oh, my Lord, here we go again. But the cool thing is that it's an 18-9, not 27-9, not 36-9, whatever. It adds down to a 9, yes, but specifically 18-9. Oh, that made the difference because I am a spiritual healer, guide, counselor. My work is a service-oriented work for humanity. And ever since I've moved into this property, I have grown exponentially in my work, my clients. It is beautiful, 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 because the energy in this house is of service to humanity. And that's what I do for my work. And so the numbers do make a difference. The other one was a plain ordinary 9. It was hell on earth. Oh, but my ego put me there. This time, spirit put me here, and it's beautiful. So house numbers carry what, the energy of your whole property. And I have a booklet that's for sale on my website of all the house numbers. So, and you can certainly just go on there and order it, and I'll send it right out to you. It's really very interesting and so amazingly accurate. Off the house numbers, Elizabeth, let's go back to a couple things. So 18-9 is here to teach gratitude. If we don't choose to have gratefulness all throughout the day. 2 days ago, it's been raining here, of course, and I have two beautiful big trees, well, not big trees, but trees in my front lawn. And I went out to get the mail, and we had one of those beautiful summer rains. And I just stopped, and I smelled so the summer rain on the grass. And I stood and I listened to the rain, misty rain on the leaves and the sounds. Pay attention to these things. God gave you eyes to see, ears to hear, and some of us a mouth to talk too much, maybe. Be grateful for that and stop and listen to the nature. Listen to the leaves rustling now in the fall. See the colors. This and is gratitude. This will raise your vibration. This will bring you great abundance in this lifetime. Great abundance. You're not a spoiled child. You are great abundance. And so the ugly can be material loss. But once we overcome, have humility, ask for guidance, and be still, go within. There's a wonderful book I'm going to recommend to you by Russell Simmons, who is a real money magnet in all types of clothing, music world, whatever. Russell Simmons. He has a really nice book out called Success Through Stillness. I now, on my website, The Magical World of Numbers, I now have a blog, which I will start writing on tomorrow, and I will post this title of this book. I know you can get it on Amazon because I've researched it. And if my memory serves me, they even have one of those little chapter things that you can read one of those chapters. But it's simple. That's what I like. It's not some highfalutin thing because, you know, I'm not fond of the word meditation. Quiet time works for me. But this is so important because the answers are within. The answers are within. They're not out in some church someplace. They're not out in some book someplace. The answers are within. But we have to find ways for some of us to settle down enough, to shut up enough, to quiet our mind enough, to sit still enough so that our higher self can talk, because it will not compete. So the number 9, easy way or hard way, just to listen in stillness. In quiet time, the answers are within. So 15, 20 minutes a day in the morning, I'm always in the morning, I sit and just sit. Sit. That's all you have to do, sit. And you'll think about this and that, but then come back to the quietness. Stare at a lit candle. I have a Tibetan bowl that I gently pound that rings, and I listen to that sound which pulls me in. The key thing is quiet and stillness. And Russell Simmons' book, Success Through Stillness, I think would be a good help for you. The bad of the number 9 has to do with control. And many times, in order to get us to a more spiritual path, we are forced to let go and to give up control. And control, the number 9, is always fear-based. It's always fear-based. Goes back to childhood many times. Many times when there was a controlling father energy, the child felt it had no control. So when it becomes an adult, it goes the other direction, and it tries to control everybody. Now, you know, father vibration is not always a man. In my family, my mother was more like the father, and my father was more like the mother energy, expected to be. So we're not just talking about the male sex when we're talking about father. We're talking about an energy. And if you find yourself pushing back from that controlling energy, that's what you look at. That was their purpose, to get you to take your power. And so a lot of behaviors are control issues. They need to prove to themselves, people who are doing, they need to prove to themselves that they are somebody, that they have this, that they this, and they throw their weight around. And there's some incessant need to control overwhelmingly and exhaustingly. And this is what wrecks havoc in relationship, wrecks havoc in careers, and the overall quality of a person's life. The bottom line is anybody who is screaming and carrying on, exerting control, trying to take and overpower other people, it's because they themselves have a fear of losing control. And they often fear being at the mercy of other people. They remember how maybe humbling that was, or how powerless they felt. And it was so painful. They're never going to go there again. So they go to the other direction, and they are control freaks. I really believe that trauma in some fashion has made people who have to be in charge, be in control, be in the center. Look at me, I'm Sandra D. I have all the answers. It's all about me all the time. I'm in charge. I'm in control. Are really people who have experienced trauma in their lives, and they feel helpless, and they feel vulnerable, and it's so painful, they're never going to go there again. And as a result, they crave control in a rather disproportionate way instead of a healthy way. And this is where abuse comes in and neglect comes in. And this is where their soul will provide them with opportunities throughout a lifetime, good, bad, or ugly, for them to feel comfortable in their own power, their spiritual power, their higher power. That's what it's all about. And gratitude for what you have, no matter how minuscule it is, how great it is. Thank you. Say thank you to Mother, Father, God. Thank you to your soul. Every morning I have this little ritual in my kitchen, because that's where I hear my voices a lot, in the kitchen. And with a glass of something to drink, orange juice, water, whatever, I salute my higher self. I thank my higher self for taking good care of Elizabeth, for guiding me, for helping me to do the right thing. I salute my masters, angels, and guides. And I have two very strong guardians that I also salute. I see them, and I thank them at the beginning of the day, because I know that's where they're hanging out. And I bless the day in gratitude and move from there. And you let it go. And you just know that today is a great day. You know, I would love for you to contact me on my website, The Magical World of Numbers, and schedule a reading with me. Let's see who you are. Let's see what's happening in your life. Right there on that toolbar, you will see numerology readings. Go there. Check it out. Be in touch with me. And also remember, I'm a medium. I love my medium work. I do connect with loved ones who've crossed over into the spirit world. They show up in my office. I let them in. They're in charge of whether they come in or not. And I certainly have set my boundaries. And it's wonderful. Go to my Facebook, The Magical World of Numbers. Like me, thumbs up. Click on that. Get notifications, because I want to be sure you get everything. Sign up for my newsletter on my website. I will be writing now my blog. Items, stories, whatever that I put on Facebook will probably be on the blog, but what I put on the blog is not always going to be on Facebook. They're not going to be the same. So check out both, if you will. In my newsletter, I give you websites, books to read, all sorts of yummy things. I love doing this show for you, with you. I know you're out there listening. And thank you to everyone who is downloading them from archives. Bless your hearts. Kind of tickles my little heart a little bit when I see all the stats, all the analytics. I know you're out there. I know you're listening. If there's something that you would want me to talk about in the magical world of numbers, send me an email. Send me an email. I love to receive your emails. Let me know what you think. Let me know your thoughts about the show, because it's all good. It's all good. Once we set our intention, And we let it go like the balloons up in the air. Spirit takes over. Spirit says, hot diggity, now we've got a project. Now we've got something to do for the girls and boys. And off they go. You do not have to know how good things come to you. You just have to intend for your highest good and greatest joy. Always add in greatest joy. Because trust me, and especially if you're under this powerful, dramatic, theatrical, warlike vibration of the number 9, ruled by Mars, the god of war, potentially in your face. We want what is for our highest good and greatest joy, and let it go and put a smile on your face. Every morning, wake up. Thank you, God. Today is a wonderful day, a day full of wonder. And so until next week, when we visit again, know that I send you God's white light and his peace and his harmony. And know that I wish you all good things. Thank you so much for visiting with me one more time in the magical world of numbers.